In the heart of our faith, we find strength. In the whispers of our prayers, we discover hope. Today, let us come together as one to embrace the light of love, the beauty of grace, and our unwavering faith. In the warmth of these walls, we find refuge. In the unity of our congregation, we find belonging. We are bound not only by our shared beliefs, but by the love and compassion that flow through these chairs. Let us be the hands that reach out to those in need and the voice of compassion for those in despair. Let our lives be a testament to the power of faith and the overwhelming grace of God. Let us be the light that shines in the darkness, the hands that lift the fallen, and the voice of hope to a world in need. In our faith, we find our calling. In our church, we find our family. And in our service, we find our purpose. May the love and grace of our Lord guide us together on life's journey.
Good morning. I guess it's still morning. It's so good to be with y'all this morning. I'm so thankful for this opportunity to come and minister and in song and in word, and thankful to have my family, and my mother-in-law's here, and glad to have her. She's local to the area, and some of my wife's cousins are here. I'm so thankful for all of y'all, and excited about the word this morning. I am still kind of coming down from worship, so you have to give me just a second. I need to adjust. Sometimes whenever I lead worship and I preach, it takes me a minute. Sometimes I have to take up the offering at church after worship, and it takes me a second to come down. Yes, that would be wonderful. I have already finished up one water. I will need a second. God's good, isn't he? Amen? Thank you so much. I appreciate that. It's fine. Need a little bit of water. I want to get right into the scripture this morning. The idea of together really struck me. I was already studying in the book of Nehemiah, and I felt like when Brock called me and asked me to come this morning, he did it a few weeks ago. He didn't ask me this morning, by the way. The way I said that, it didn't work. But when he asked me, I was already studying in Nehemiah, and I just felt like this was a word from the Lord this morning. Nehemiah chapter 4, if you can follow along on the board there. But I want to ask you first, have you ever tried to do something important completely by yourself, only to realize that maybe it was impossible without some help? I'm speaking to every husband in the house. Don't even sit there and look at me all sanctimonious. You know exactly what I'm talking about. We've all tried to put that IKEA furniture together at one time or another, and it just didn't work out, or wherever it came from, Amazon. We face opposition. We face discouragement. We face spiritual battles. And if we do that alone, then there's a problem. So we have together. That's as simple as it's going to get this morning. The sermon title is Together. I'm going to read these first few verses out of Nehemiah chapter 4 out of the New King James Version. But it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant, and he mocked the Jews. He spoke before his brethren and the army of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive the stones from the heaps of the rubbish? Stones that are burned." Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall. Hear, O our God. for we are despised. Turn their reproach on their own heads and give them as plunder to the land of captivity. Do not cover their iniquity and do not let their sin be blotted out from before you, for they have provoked you to anger and before the builders. So we built the wall, and the entire wall was joined up to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. The people had a mind to work. Now, we're going to talk about Nehemiah, but I don't want to just drop you in Nehemiah and not kind of build up exactly where we're at in the scripture here. So, God's people had a long journey, right? We understand, before we reach Nehemiah chapter 4, Nehemiah chapter 4 is far along in the journey of the Jewish people. Moses led the people out of Egypt, and Joshua brought them into the promised land. And then there was a time when the nation was ruled by judges and then kings. And under David and Solomon, Jerusalem became the center of worship with the temple as God's dwelling place. But over time, Israel turned away from the Lord. If you are a student of Old Testament, you kind of understand that Israel turned away from the Lord many times. The northern kingdom fell to Assyria ultimately, and eventually Judah was conquered by Babylon, and Jerusalem's walls, in the midst of those battles and in the midst of those wars, the walls of Jerusalem were completely torn down. The temple was destroyed, and the people were carried into exile. Decades later, Persia defeats Babylon. So it's just continual war after war. Persia defeats Babylon, and the Persian kings began to allow the Jews to return to their homeland. Under Zerubbabel and Ezra, the temple was rebuilt, and the walls of Jerusalem still laid in ruins, leaving the city's defenses vulnerable. That's where Nehemiah comes in. Nehemiah is raised up in the court of the king Artaxerxes, the Persian king. And he's his cupbearer. So Nehemiah, who we're reading about here, he's narrating the story. Nehemiah is the cupbearer to the king. Well, what did the cupbearer to the king do? Well, he taste tested the wine. And if Nehemiah didn't croak, then the king knew it was okay to drink the wine. That was Nehemiah's job. But in that position, Nehemiah became a trusted source and a trusted confidant of the king Artaxerxes. And Nehemiah one day, we didn't read in chapters 1, 2, and 3, but Nehemiah one day is sad and he's downcast and he's down in his heart. And the king notices, hey, Nehemiah, you're not your usual self. What's going on? Nehemiah lets him know, hey, this city of my ancestors, the walls are ruined. And they're facing battles from without. They're facing enemies from without that want to come in and take over Jerusalem again. Some of the Jews have been let back into the city, but there is no walls for their defense. Now, what's so interesting to me about Nehemiah, has likely never even been to Jerusalem in this story. He was raised up in Persia. He was under the king. He was a part of the king's place. He was not a prophet. He was not a priest. He wasn't even a leader when God began to lay this burden on his heart for the city of Jerusalem and its walls that had been broken down. He had proximity to power by being in the king's court. He became a leader going back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls, to oversee the effort. But what I want to talk about this morning is how together the people were. I'll review back in the chapter 4, verse number 6. The people had a mind to work. The people had a mindset to work. If you look in the Hebrew, it literally means the people had a heart to do, make, or build. The people had a mind. They were together in their mindset. The people of God the Jewish people had a mindset to get the job done. In the church, nobody builds alone. You see, all of these things that happen in this church, all of the organization of the worship, the call to worship, the scripture, the piano players, the instrument players, everyone has a part to play. It all can't be done alone. The vision requires all hands and all minds. In the scripture we see this morning, he said the people had a mind to work. They were together in their mindset. They were also together in their opposition. If we continue reading on to verse number 7. Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites and all the Mites and the Ites and the all that stuff heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion. Nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God, and because of them, we set a watch against them day and night. Judah said, the strength of the laborers is failing, and there is much rubbish, and we are not able to build the wall. Not only were the people together in their mindset, they were also together in opposition. Did you know when you commit to being a part of the body of Christ, when you commit to a community, one person's battle is your battle. See, the culture wants us to believe that we're all in this alone and it's every man for himself. These are things you hear bits and pieces every day, whether you watch it in the news, wherever you hear it, if you're on social media, every man for himself, you're on your own. Baby, if you're a part of the community of believers, you are not on your own. My battle is your battle is my battle. We battle this thing together. The enemy wants to isolate you and get you to believe that your opposition is only your opposition. That's how he can isolate you and separate you and keep you away from the people of God. But they were together in their opposition. They had a shared battle. Sanballat and Tobiah were like, I kind of picture them as, should I say that? Okay, I'm going to say that. I was a church kid. I was a pastor. I'm a pastor's kid. I've been a pastor's kid most of my life. Does anybody ever watch The Simpsons? Can I say that here? Remember the bullies? I can't remember his name. I don't remember his name. I wasn't that big of a. If I got caught watching The Simpsons, I was in big trouble. I got grounded. But there was a bully on there, and he would just beat up Bart, and he would try to beat up everybody. It was crazy. That's kind of how I view Sanballat and Tobiah. Except they had bigger weapons, I guess. But they were bullies. They were bullies, and they didn't want the Jews to have this fortification. They didn't want the walls to be rebuilt. They were upset that the project was going according to plan, so they began to conspire against the Jewish people. They began to conspire with the other enemies of the people of God. Don't be surprised when opposition comes, because if you're on a mission, opposition will come. There are spiritual bullies that will want to harm and keep the work from coming together. In the middle of the opposition, they even faced overwhelm. It struck out to me so much. It says, let's see, back in verse 7, it happened when Sanballat and Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites heard that the walls were being restored, the gaps were beginning to be closed, they became angry. They conspired together. That's where they conspired. But then he says, the strength of the laborers is falling in verse 10. They began to be overwhelmed. There is so much rubbish that we are unable to build the wall. We've had a people that had a mind to work. Now by verse 10, they're getting tired and there's so much rubbish and there's so much stuff and they're beginning to be overwhelmed. Anybody ever felt overwhelmed? One thing piles on top of the other. The rubbish, it just all piles on top. And by the time that you get ready to get to attack the rubbish, you're overwhelmed. You're overwhelmed. We live in a day and age where overwhelm is real easy to happen. Opposition on the outside and discouragement on the inside equals overwhelm. Alone, we are susceptible to overwhelm and opposition, but together, look, somebody say together, we are unstoppable. together we are unstoppable. There was a time when they were overwhelmed. I've been reminded of over there in the book of Psalms when David said, when my heart is overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that is higher than I. When we feel overwhelmed, sometimes we just need to look higher. We need to, the rubbish is piled, it's stacked on top of one another, and the walls are still broken down. There's still gaping holes in the wall, but we're looking at the problem too much when we need to look a little higher. When we look together, when we get in here together and we look higher in worship, when we look higher for each other, with each other, when we begin to look higher, He allows us to get out of overwhelm and opposition. They were together. They were together in their mindset. They were together in the opposition. Number three, they were together in the assignment. Verse 13, therefore, Nehemiah talking, I positioned men behind the lower parts of the wall at the openings. And I set the people according to their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked and arose and said to the nobles and to the leaders and to the rest of the people, do not be afraid. Remember the Lord great and awesome, and fight for your brethren. Fight for your sons. Fight for your daughters. Fight for your wives. Fight for your houses. And it happened when our enemies heard that it was known to us that that God had brought their plot to nothing. All of us returned to the wall, everyone to his work. Everyone returned. They had their assignment. Nehemiah said, you're going to sit over here. I'm going to have you sitting over here, and I'm going to have you over here. And then they were together in their assignment. He stationed them by families. He armed them with swords, spears, and bows, and positioned them in the lowest and most vulnerable places. He reminded them, do not be afraid. When the enemies realized that God had frustrated their plans, the work went on. The work went on. They were together in their assignment. What is your assignment? I can tell you in 2025, strategy matters. Having an assignment matters. Having an assignment, and it's a shared assignment. They're together in their assignment. Faith is not passive. It's active. It's practical. It is prepared. God's people pray, but they also plan. God's people pray, they plan, they come together, they are together in their assignment. They trust, but they also take action. They take action together in their assignment. They're also together in their identity. Verse 21 through 23, I have a lot of scripture. So we labored, imagine that, coming to church and having scripture. So we labored in the work. Half of the men held the spears from daybreak until the stars appeared. At the same time, I also said to the people, let each man and his servant stay at night in Jerusalem. And that day they will be our guard by night and a working party by day. So neither I nor my brethren, my servants, nor the men of the guard who followed me took off their clothes except that everyone took them off for washing. They literally were together in their identity. They stood around the clock. Their identity was together. That was their identity. This was their job. This was what they were to do. They were to do this in order to make sure that Jerusalem would be safe, that the walls would be rebuilt, and that there would be no more raiders coming through and taking whatever they wanted. This was their together project. Their together project. Nehemiah said, there was one part I didn't read there where he said that some of them had a tool in one hand and a weapon in the other. That was part of their identity, was that they were working warriors. Do you know in the church today, we need some spiritual working warriors? Now, if you think I'm talking about, you know, about physical stuff, yeah, we're using Nehemiah as the physical representation. But there's also a spiritual application, because I'm reminded over in Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost, they were all in one mind and they were all in one accord. They had a shared together mind. Their mindset was together. They were sitting, you know what, let's just go over to Acts chapter 2. Let's just get there. Acts chapter 2. Anybody ever did a sword drill? Back in the day when I was growing up. And we took great pride. Somebody would stand, the teacher would stand up in front of the class and say, "All right, find Amos chapter 2, verse 12. And those of us, we hadn't learned humility yet, but when we found Amos, we were like, "Yeah, I'm the best Bible driller ever." That's a joke. It's okay. That when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord. And that's not a Honda. I'm trying to get y'all to laugh. They were all in one accord. They were all in one mindset. They were all, what's the word? They were together. Now, what you don't see in Acts chapter 2, we don't get a prelude unless you really understand and study the scripture. What we got to understand here is we left off Acts chapter 1. Jesus was going back into heaven. He was ascending into heaven. Now, we understand that between the 40th day when he ascended and when the day of Pentecost came, which was the day 50, we understand that the apostles, the would-be, the soon-to-be apostles, the current disciples, were going into the upper room. 10 days later is when the day of Pentecost had fully come. So these guys were not just, they weren't just hanging out, watching college football like me and Brock did yesterday and my boys. Go Vols. Somebody, one of my boys said, I bet you'll bring it up in your message. I did. You win. They weren't just hanging out, eating pizza, just chilling. They were praying. They were together for 10 days in the upper room. There was a 10-day period there where we understand that they were seeking God. They were seeking the Lord. Jesus had just gone back into heaven, and they had lost the one that they had been following now. For 3 years, he was gone, but he had told them to tarry, stay here, because you're going to be endued with power. Well, 10 days later, they were endued with power. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. This is Acts chapter 2 is about 500 years after the Nehemiah story. But I want to show you the parallel. The exact same thing that happened in Nehemiah happens in Acts. They were together in one mind and in one accord. They were together, by the way, in their opposition. We'll see on in the book of Acts where the Christian church, the original Christians that were born out of Acts chapter 2, that Acts chapter 2 experience, they faced opposition, a lot of opposition. They were also together in their assignment and in their mission because they went across the world. Even one of those who was the key person that was persecuting against them, he got on their side after a minute. It took him a minute. He killed a few Christians along the way, but then he was converted. They were together in their assignment. They were together in identity. The first place you ever see and hear the word Christian is in the book of Acts. They were first called Christians at Antioch. They were together in their mind. They were together in opposition. They were together in their assignment and in their mission. And they were together in identity. Instead of walls, they were building community. Instead of swords, they were armed with the Spirit of God. True Christian unity isn't just working or fighting together. It's living Spirit-filled lives together on mission. Nehemiah's people needed walls for protection, but the Church of Acts needed the Spirit for mission. We have to be together. If my dad were preaching this, he would probably insert a joke about or a statement about the Lone Ranger, but nobody in this building knows who the Lone Ranger is. Maybe you do. Some of us do. I barely do. I watch Nick at Night, but back in the day. But there are no Lone Rangers in the kingdom of God. There are no Batman. How about that? That's a good modern day adaptation. Batman, you know about a little bit about Batman. He's a vigilante. He just does things on his own. There's a lot of Christian vigilantes that want to do things on their own, but God designed this thing for us to be. I'm going to have to wind down here. We're going to come in for a landing. But both stories, both the stories that we talked about this morning, both required togetherness. Without unity, progress cannot be made. There's no progress if there's no unity. If there's one person doing one part of the wall and another person doing another part of the wall and they don't have the plans, then they're going to do the wall the way they see the wall. But when there's togetherness, when there's together in mind, when there's together in your assignment, when there's together in your mission, God's people are always strongest when they're united around His presence and His mission. God's people are always the strongest in those moments. Nehemiah rallied the people, and the apostles rallied the church. God is calling us to rally around one another. God has called us to rally around one another in prayer, in mission, in worship. What is our call today? Together in prayer, together in mission, together in worship, together in the Spirit. Together. Lift up your hand this morning and just give Him glory. And thank Him that He has allowed you to be a part of the community of believers. He has allowed you to be a part of the community of faith. He has called you. He has called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light to be a part of the solution, to be a part of God's kingdom in the earth, to be on mission for Him. He's called you to be a part of the church. I love church. I love the small C church. I love every part of this. I've been leading worship for a lot of years, probably close to 20 years now. I've been in church since I was 17 days old. Dad tells me I was dedicated at 17 days old. I am more churchy than Noah was Arky. Tell I've been in church for a minute, because that's a corny preacher joke. I love everything that we do as part of the church. The worship, the word, the fellowship food that's coming up here in a few minutes. You tell I really love that. Breaking of bread, right? Togetherness. I love the communion that we're getting ready to do very soon. I love all of it. The lights, the sound, the instruments. It's all great. It's all wonderful. But did you understand? That's the small C church. This is just the stuff we do. Who you are, your identity is part of the big C church. The capital C. That's your identity. You are called out. You are one of the called out ones. In the book of Acts, they said that they're part of this thing called the way. You're part of the way. You're not in the way, you're part of the way. You're part of those who have been called out of darkness and into His marvelous light. You have been called to be a part of the church. Scripture says it's the pillar and the ground of truth. The big C church. That's your identity. And on this commemorative Sunday morning that we celebrate together, I want us to think about that for just a minute. Brother Brock's going to come in just a moment, but I want us to think about our part in the Big C Church. Ponder it. Think on it. Thank you, Lord, that you've called us. Thank you, Lord, that we're a part of something so big. We are a part of the fellowship that you placed on this earth to be your literal representation on the earth. But we know when you went away, you said you were going to send another comforter. You said he's going to lead us and guide us into all truth. And those of us who are a part of the Big C Church, and we have been baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit is a part of our life. God, that we are a part of that crew. And Lord, we don't take that position lightly. We don't take that assignment lightly. We understand that it's supposed to be a part of our mind. We are supposed to be together in mind. We're supposed to be a part of each other. We're together in our mission. God, and we give you glory. Come on, lift up your hand this morning. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise you. Oh, build your church, Lord. Build your church, Lord. Oh, yes. Oh, Lord, we give you glory. Oh, you will build. Oh, your church. The gates of hell will not prevail. Lord, it's your church. It's your church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against your church. Oh, yes. Oh, we're thankful, Lord. We're thankful. Yes, Lord, yes. Oh, yes, Lord.
Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. Don't you appreciate the word this morning? Together. On mission together. Our identity together. Mindset together. God's called us to be together. God's called us to be together. As we think about communion this morning, Paul told us that there's one bread, one body. And as we think of communion this morning, this isn't just a ritual that we do without any meaning. This morning, I'm over here. How y'all doing? This that we do in this morning, in this moment, this is about being reminded. See, sometimes different things grab our attention, and we got to be gathered back together so we can get back on the wall. Together. God has placed us in a body together. God's called us together. And communion that we partake together, it reminds us of our unity in Christ Jesus. It reminds us that we aren't in isolation, that we aren't a Lone Ranger or a Batman, but we are the body of Christ. And that we have been called together to serve and to love and to grow. We've been called together to encourage one another. We've been called together to build the wall. We've been called together to build the wall. I appreciated you putting out the rubbish. Sometimes it's easy to let the rubbish distract us. But like you said, we got to look higher and be reminded of our purpose, be reminded of our mission, be reminded of our calling. And so today we are being reminded that, God has called us together, that God has put us together, and that we need one another, and we are appreciative of each one of us, and we are thankful for each one of us because God has called us together. And we, some of us may be an ear, an eye, a foot, but we're all part of the body. God's called us together. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Together. Together. See, there's one bread because there's one body. We need one another. And that's why I'm thankful for you. That's why we're gathered together today, just to say thank you, because we need each other. Maybe before you leave today, you just need to find somebody that maybe you haven't said thank you to. Say, yeah, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. I want you to know, church, I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for each one of you. I'm thankful for those who serve. I'm thankful for those who are coming and growing in their faith. I'm thankful for those of you who have been inviting people, and we're seeing God move and work in people's lives. I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for what God is doing. Together. Together. Would you stand? We are together. We need one another. See, Paul told us the eye can't say to the mouth, I don't need you. Paul said the hand can't say to the ear, I don't need you. My head has said to my hair, I don't need you. We need one another. I need my hair. We need one another. And I'm thankful for you. I'm thankful for you. As Pastor Zach and the band leads us in this song of worship, the tables are open. There's two tables in front, a table in the back, and these tables are open for whosoever will, let him come. Scripture tells us to search our hearts, to see if there's any sin in us that we need to confess. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus told us that if you've got aught against your brother, then you got to go to them before you even come to the altar. So search your heart this morning. See, it's in that confession that we become more unified. It's in that forgiveness that we become more together. So search your heart before the Lord. Confess your sin one to another. James says that you might be healed. And you're coming to the table this morning is a reminder that you need the Lord and we need one another. As he sings, you're free to come to the tables.